Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. This morning at the 9/11 observance at the Pentagon, President Trump spoke about the terrorists who attacked the U.S. 18 years ago today.
And if for any reason they come back to our country, we will go wherever they are and use power the likes of which the United States has never used before. And I'm not even talking about nuclear power. They will never have seen anything like what will happen to them.
Well, also last night, the president tweeted, "Big night for the Republican Party," after Republican Dan Bishop narrowly won that special election in a Republican stronghold in North Carolina. Let's bring in our political strategist to look at all of this with us from Washington, Bill Press, the Democrat this week. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Jeremy. Hello, hi. Alice.
Hello, because Alice Stewart, who's here with us in the studio. She's the Republican. And Alice, we can congratulate you because your party's leader, President Trump, last night tweeted out while you were on CNN, thank you for your nice words.
Well, thank you. And let me just say this. It was a good night for the Republican Party last night in North Carolina, the two victories in the congressional races. I was talking about those great races, and needless to say, the president was happy that I was talking about GOP success in North Carolina.
Bill, did the president tweet about you last night? I didn't see that one.
Didn't see that. But Alice.
No, but what I want to know is, why was he watching CNN?
He always watches CNN, and he loves to hate CNN. Look, here's the great thing about CNN. They have voices from all sides. They have strong-voiced Republicans, strong-voiced Democrats, and they are a great showcase of people that support Donald Trump and those that do not.
Well,
but enough
about CNN. Here we are.
And, North Carolina.
And let's talk about North Carolina, because the president was excited and that there was this win. But Democrats are pointing out that he won the 9th district in North Carolina by 12 points in 2016. Dan Bishop last night, the Republican again backed by Trump, won by under 5,000 votes. Isn't this, Alice, not great news for Republicans?
It could be better, yeah, without a doubt. And look, the end of the day, the reality is the Republicans won. And you know what you call the person, the congressional candidate that wins the race by 2 points?
The winner.
Congressman.
Oh, okay.
And that is the truth. And the important thing here is that Republicans were motivated, Democrats were motivated, and they got out. And this was a good sign that we were able to hold that seat. Ideally, it would have been by a larger margin, but a win is a win, and we will take that.
How do you see it, Bill? Because there was some worry, as Robin mentioned, that this was not great news for Republicans, because especially among suburban women, that the Republican did not do well.
I just want to make one point. I do hope that Donald Trump tweets about me sometime, but I hope he attacks me, doesn't praise me. Right?
All right.
I didn't make Nixon's enemies list. I'd like to make Donald Trump's. Now, on North Carolina, look, this is like having to fight and spend millions and millions of dollars to win a congressional seat in Utah. I mean, Republicans should not have had to fight this hard for this. I think it's worrying, should be troubling to them, that in a deep red district, as Robin pointed out, that Donald Trump carried by 12 points, they barely squeaked out a 2-point victory. So they got to look at what that means for 2020. And on top of that, why are 15 Republicans have already announced they're not running for reelection? They see that the landscape is not favorable to them because of Donald Trump in 2020. Having said that, I want to tell my fellow Democrats, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I ran for office once in California. I lost by about 2 points. Guess what? I was a loser. The other guy was a winner. So a loss is a loss. You have to accept that.
And to follow up on Bill's point, the lessons learned last night should have really been to the Democrats, because they cannot continue to nominate people that are strong for the base and motivate the base in the primary, but do not energize and engage
McCready,
independents.
Yeah, the McCready is quite a moderate and kind of stayed away from a lot of the topics, Medicare for All, that the presidential candidates are talking about. Bill, is that a lesson for Democrats?
I think Dan McCready was a good candidate in the first time around, by the way, and the second time around. Again, you've got to give him credit for turning a safe Republican district into a real fight to the finish. So I don't blame Don McCready or say there's a lesson. I really do think, honestly, nonpartisan, that the lesson here is for the Republicans, that they have a big challenge having lost suburban women, lost the suburbs, Donald Trump's ratings falling. It's not going to be automatic that they hold on to the Senate or the White House in 2020. And I think this is a warning signal in North Carolina.
Okay, I want to talk about some other big news this week, which is John Bolton, President Trump's third national security advisor in 3 years to leave the administration. Here are reporters asking the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, about it yesterday.
Is this national security team a mess?
Absolutely not. That's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard of.
So.
Alice, when you look back at previous administrations, the last several, I noticed that Bill Clinton and George W. Bush only had two national security advisors in 8 years. There's been so much turnover, especially on foreign policy in the Trump administration. Does it worry you?
We all can recognize the fact that there has been tremendous turnover in this White House. But a lot of times, we all know Donald Trump is his national security advisor. He is his economic advisor. He is his foreign policy advisor. Like it or not, that's the way it is.
Are you happy Bolton is gone?
My position on this is the president is the president, and we knew there were differences with regard to foreign policy, one more hawkish, one more dovish, and someone was going to go, and it certainly was not the president. And I view this as not a matter of if Bolton was going to be forced out, but when. And yesterday was the day.
But Bill, do Democrats have a problem with this? Because you can say, yeah, this is they're now looking for the fourth national security advisor. But on the other hand, Democrats were very much against the hawk, John Bolton. And here is President Trump jettisoning him.
Right. I do want to agree with Alice on one point, that Donald Trump is his own national security advisor, but he's also his own press secretary, his own defense secretary, his own secretary of state, his own chief of staff. I mean, that should trouble all of us, unless you think he is some absolute genius who knows more about everything than anybody, which he's not. But on Bolton, you know, I must admit I'm torn on this. Look, I think it was a horrible hire. I think we are all fortunate. All Americans are lucky that he's out of there and we're lucky that he didn't take us to war against Iran and North Korea while he was there. So I don't think we have to lament his loss. But at the same time, I have to say, I believe John Bolton was right. The idea of making a deal with the Taliban that the Afghan government was not involved in and then inviting the Taliban to Camp David was outrageous. And Bolton was right to protest that. He won that battle. It cost him his job. And you, Jeremy and Robin, Alice, you'd never thought you'd hear me say this, but I agree with what Rush Limbaugh said yesterday, that whoever suggested inviting the Taliban to Camp David should be fired. Unfortunately, the person who suggested it is Donald Trump.
By the way, mark that tape. well, go ahead, Alice.
I think it's also important. Mnuchin made a good point yesterday that the foreign policy advisors and foreign policy of this presidency isn't based on just one person, and certainly wasn't Bolton. And the president, in my view, has brought around a good group of advisors, and he relies on several legs of the foreign policy stool, which includes diplomacy, military, economic, intelligence, and that is critical. It is not just a one-size-fits-all. He looks at all the various tools we have in the foreign policy toolbox, and I view he has been using them well.
Well, it's interesting.
Can I just point
out
that this is, according to Axios this morning, this is number 51 of top White House aides fired by Donald Trump.
Right.
This administration is amateur hour. It's a total mess. It's no way to run a railroad.
It was interesting that Mnuchin was there yesterday because, as you point out, Alice, economic policy has been very important to Trump's foreign policy, whether it's sanctions or the trade war, et cetera. I just want to ask about the debate. Tomorrow night, the Democrats, 10 of them, are going to be on the stage in Houston for another debate. This is going to be the first time that Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden, two of the front runners, are going to be on the same stage. Bill, what are you watching for tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to be there in the hall tomorrow and in the spin room. What I'm watching is I want to really see Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders on the same stage. So far, you know, they've made nice to each other. They're going to have to show their differences, number one, tomorrow. I want to watch the two of them versus Joe Biden, because the real contest among Democrats is We talked a little bit about this before. Excitability that you've got with Bernie and Elizabeth Warren versus electability, which people see as a safe, steady, secure Joe Biden. And I think that's going to be in full display tomorrow night. My prediction is after tomorrow night, we'll be down to 6 or 8 candidates.
Well, real quick, people bristle when you say electability, and Elizabeth Warren just edged out Joe Biden by just 1 point and in just one poll in New Hampshire.
In one poll.
Yeah, but people get – but real quick, in the minute we have, Alice, what are you watching for?
More, a lot of the same, because they are very similar on the policies with regard to climate change, with regard to gun control, with regard to pro-choice initiatives. I do see Biden as someone that does show a little bit more of a moderate voice. But on this issue of who's where in the polls, the NPR poll that came out, I found interesting, that shows Warren on the rise, Biden is holding up. Biden still maintains a good, steady lead in the national polls and in the early states, which is critical. But this time on the stage, when they are head-to-head, like they will be, that is where the rubber meets the road. And it is a good chance for Warren to make up some ground, or potentially Biden to widen the gap even further.
And that is Alice Stewart, the Republican, and Bill Press, the Democrat, who will be in the spin room as the author of Spin This, Bill, for a long time ago.
Thank you for that plug.
There you go. Two plugs on the show. Thank you both.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.